If there is a message, any message, that begs to be heard in our lessons today, it is an encouragement that we should never be embarrassed or ashamed of human weakness, because weakness often gives us the opportunity to witness God's strength at work within us. And because weakness can in fact make us more helpful to one another than even our wisest words and greatest competencies. The lesson from the book of Ezekiel this morning comes from the story of God calling Ezekiel to be a prophet. God asks him to announce to the people of Israel that if they continue to dismiss God's laws and God's teaching as irrelevant to their lives, they will be destroyed and scattered to the winds at the hands of the Babylonian Empire. And of course, despite his warning, Israel persists in their ways, and they are indeed conquered by Babylon, just as the prophet predicted. Having been asked, though, to deliver this message of impending judgment, where we pick up the text is when he's just been given this task and he's terrified. Naturally, he gets this job description and his knees buckle. Our reading today is Yahweh's response to that fear. God tells Ezekiel, "Stand up on your feet and I will speak with you." And as the Lord speaks to him, Ezekiel indeed feels a spirit enter him and set him up on his feet. Now, the whole reason why this story is told today in the context of these other readings and told at all in Scripture is so that we will not think too highly of Ezekiel for being so wise, a man ahead of his years, ahead of his time. It's told so that we will understand that it's not by the prophet's own wisdom or power that he knows what to say, but that he will be able to do this very hard thing that the Lord has asked of him by God's power, not his own. So this and the other lessons that we have read this morning are meant to remind us that while we may be uncertain of our ability to do the very hard things that are sometimes demanded of us, as Paul tells us in his second letter to the Corinthians, God's grace is sufficient. The second letter to the Corinthians is addressed to a Christian community that Paul had planted and nurtured into being. But in his absence, as he was off planting other churches around the Mediterranean, the Corinthians had fallen under the spell of celebrity worship. Some preachers have arrived from Jerusalem calling themselves, of all things, super apostles. They claim to have had powerful mystical experiences, ecstatic visions, and that because of these, they are able to perform miracles, and because they have been given this special access to God, they say this is proof that the community ought to follow their lead instead of Paul's. So Paul writes to this community in Corinth because the people have begun to believe these super apostles and to criticize Paul as weak because he never laid claim to any of those special powers. Now, the opening of this passage is totally confusing to us. Paul's talking about visions in the third heavens and all this kind of stuff, and this isn't something that makes sense to us anymore. But Paul is just using the language of his time. They used to, in the ancient world, believe in the multiple levels of heaven and of the cosmos. But that's not important. What's important is what we hear him saying. He says, "I know somebody," and we learn later that he's referring to himself, "somebody out there 14 years ago did have a special ecstatic experience too. But that is not what makes him, gives him authority to preach. That's not the basis of his strength. It's not because he's special, he's telling the Corinthians, that he's been given strength and opportunity to do God's work in the world, but in fact, because he's weak. And he goes on to talk about the thorn in his side that he prayed many times for God to remove, but three times God responded, no. Paul doesn't counter accusations of his weakness by trying to tell everybody just, in fact, how strong he is. But by saying, yeah, I am weak. It's true. And this is my story. I've struggled and struggled and struggled. But because I am weak, God is able to show himself forth through me as strong. If I have had any special personal encounters with God, this isn't what has made me powerful. It's when I get out of the way and rely on God to give me the strength that I need, this is when I'm strong. If I am weak, then it only makes me more, gives me more capacity to lead you, because then you know that any good thing that I am able to accomplish is genuinely of God and not of me. Paul's experience with the Corinthians kind of points up that all too human tendency we have to be seduced by apparent human strength and competency and celebrity. And our deep loathing and distrust of all things that are plain and ordinary and weak. We see this in the gospel reading this morning, too. No one can believe that Jesus, this Jesus who grew up in this hometown of Nazareth among friends and family, that this guy they've known all their lives is God's Messiah. Isn't the Messiah supposed to be some awesome figure from somewhere else? It kind of reminds you of that saying that an expert is always someone from at least 60 miles away. Because when they're too close, we know their human weaknesses. And we don't believe anymore that they can be so great. So Jesus is scorned by his townsfolk as ordinary and unexceptional. And it reminded me of this summer, earlier this summer or spring, when we saw the same thing happen with that woman, Susan Boyle, who was on Britain's Got Talent. You remember this story of the woman who steps out on the stage to compete with all the 20-year-old teeny boppers, and she's middle-aged, very frumpy, very plain. And as she steps out and says, I want to be a star, the camera pans the audience, and everyone's laughing at her. They're snickering, rolling their eyes. Couldn't be. How dare she? And then she opened her mouth. And it was obvious to everyone who heard her that she had a gift. She was inspired, literally, the spirit within. So I think the message of the readings this morning is like that story. And it's like also the message of the recent Intel commercial. You'll know this one, too. The camera is in an office, and everyone's looking at the door where someone great is clearly entering in the door. And everyone's going, wow, and whispering, here he comes, here he comes. And the women are swooning as soon as they catch sight of him. And then the picture lights on the guy who's like middle-aged, Pakistani, Indian guy, who's kind of frumpy and a bad haircut, and it says, Ayaz Bayat, co-inventor of the USB. And he's a star. And the punchline of the commercial is, our rock stars aren't like your rock stars. It's Intel. That's the message of the gospel, that God's rock stars aren't like the world's rock stars. God's rock stars are weak and small and unimportant in the eyes of the world. And it is a very profound and consistent message of Scripture that God often, if not always, chooses the small and the weak to be his instruments and agents of grace. And I think there's a reason for that. Because if we were to see greatness packaged in the sexy and the competent and the celebrity, then we'd mix it all up and misunderstand that it is indeed God who brings about the greatest things among us and not ourselves. So God uses the foolish, as Paul says, to shame the wise, to remind us that it is God at work when good things happen and not we ourselves. I was once in a group with a woman in a church who was just one of those leaders in a church that everybody admired. Look around and see her work, her generosity, incredible enthusiasm and energy, and how much she gave and led the church to get involved in a ministry with very poor teens in the area. Incredible person that everyone admired. And I was in a group with this woman one evening, and she told the story of how as a teenager she had been suicidal, had gotten so low at one point in her life that she swallowed a whole bottle of aspirin. And she was in the midst of telling her story of how God had worked in her life. And she used that as an example of how at one time she was very weak and that God had picked her up and put her back together again. And it was a story that everyone in the group heard and was incredibly encouraged to see that somebody like them, somebody they admired, had been so low at one point in their lives that it made everyone in the group feel like, well, okay, I can be low sometimes too, and God can still do great things with me. It was a very encouraging moment. And yet the next week, the woman told me that she had spent the whole weekend after telling that story feeling kind of embarrassed, that she had made herself too vulnerable with her fellow church members, exposed too much of what was really a part of her life. But then she said on Monday morning she had been reading the Daily Office, and a scripture from 2 Corinthians came up, and she read those words that we've heard this morning: "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." And it made her realize that by sharing a moment of her weakness, maybe, just maybe, God could use that to encourage someone else. And so her embarrassment and her shame withered away. And she realized, oh, okay, there's a reason why I was led to do that. She made herself a far better witness to God by her vulnerability than by hiding that away and pretending as if she never suffered or struggled in her life. When we open ourselves to one another and share the broken places in our lives, we have to remember that this, as embarrassing as it may be, can be, the way in which God speaks to others around us and encourages us to trust and to believe that that's not the end, those moments of lowness and weakness. In fact, the last part of the gospel this morning gives us the idea that this is in fact exactly where God wants us when he sends us out to serve one another in the world. Jesus sends his disciples out two by two, without anything for their journey. He sends them out weak, on purpose, without bread to offer anybody, no bag, no money. We are sent out, all of us, in weakness, so that we can learn to depend on God in a new way, at a new level, and to witness to God's sufficiency to help us handle any challenge. Thanks be to God. Amen.